Over Pesach, we lost two of the participants in the shiur, two of the regular participants. Moshe Gans, who used to come every week for many years, passed away. Leon Kahn, who used to come also for many years, passed away. The Rebbe Shlom should give an achama to their families. Yeah, he was a chazan. Mr. Arbisfeld had yahrzeit today for his mother. We dedicate the learning Lazecha Nishmas Chaim Musket Basra Moshe Baruch. We left off last week in the middle of Kuf Tesam and Beis. Maybe we'll start again from the Mishnah. Kuf Tesam and Aleph. It's been a long time since we looked in a Gemara Chulin. It is that when you milk a cow, so the milk is milchik and the flesh is fleshik. Kuf Tesam and Aleph. So what if you have the udder of the cow and you didn't remove the milk till after you shecht the cow? You shecht the cow and then you squeeze out the milk. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that men atara, that's part of it. It's not fleshig, but it's not milchig either. That's called cholav shchuto. The cholav that comes out after you shechted the cow already. So the Mishnah says, hakchal, what if you want to eat the udder? So it's full of the milk that wasn't yet removed while the animal was alive. So what do you do? So before you cook it, or before you broil it, the Gemara is going to discuss, is it talking about the three possibilities. Are you broiling it, or are you cooking it with liquid in a pot, or are you cooking it with liquid with other flesh in a pot? Three possibilities. So the Mishnah doesn't say clearly what you're doing here, but it says you have to be koro, you have to slash it, in order to be able to squeeze out as much milk as possible, motzi as chelboy, and to remove as much milk as possible. You won't be able to remove all the milk, so the whole thing is only midirabbanon, that the milk chol of shchuta is considered milchik, is only midirabbanon. So you squeeze out as much as you can, and farting, whatever you can squeeze out, so you leave it on a din deraisa, that's mutter. What if you didn't do that? What if you didn't cut it, and then you cooked it the way it was? Loikara, if you didn't cut it and squeeze out the milk, eino over alav. You don't get malchus for eating basa b'cholav. So that's the shot. You don't get malchus because it's only basa b'cholav the rabbanon, or it means that it's mutter. So the Gemara has two versions of what Rab said. Two different Amaroim had different versions of whether Rab said it's asa mid the rabbanon or it's mutter mid the rabbanon. What's the second half of the Mishnah? Halev, dam is asa b'achila. You're not allowed to eat dam of behema chaya b'yof. Dam of dogim, dam from fish is mutter. You don't have to salt fish to remove the dam. But dam, because fish is ain dam mechalak mepzara. Al pidin, the dam is included in basa, but the dam of behem chay v'yayif is separate from the basa. So halev, the heart is full of blood. So what? If you're interested in eating the heart, so you have to be kora umoti as dam. You have to cut it and squeeze out as much dam as possible, and then you broil it. Okay. What if loy kora? What if you didn't cut it and you cooked it the way it is? So it says ein over alav. Yeah, but here you're dealing with a real din daraisa. What do you mean ein over alav? In the first half of the Mishnah, ein over alav, there's no din basa b'chalav daraisa, because to begin with, the whole issue you're talking about is only chalav shchuta, it's only with the rabban. But by lev, it's a din daraisa. So why is ein over alav? What does that mean? So Rashi refers you to the Gemara in Menachos. Rashi does not refer you to the Gemara in Menachos. Who does? Tosis refers you. The Gemara Menachos Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara has a machlokes regarding dam shebishloi. The Torah prohibits dam because the dam and the chelev, the same pasuk in Vayikra and Tzav says chelev and dam is supposed to be karev al gabi hamzbeah. So chelev and dam belongs to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So not only is it prohibited to eat chelev adam from a carbon, even from behemas chulin, also you're not allowed to eat chelev adam. And even a chaya, you cannot be makriv on the mizbeach. And chelev chaya is mutter, the exact same chelev that in the behemas and isa kares and a chaya is had to gomer. How do you distinguish between a behema and a chaya? What's a behema? What's a chaya? So the Gemara in Chulin has earlier, it depends on the shape of the horns. It's complicated how to figure out whether any given animal is a behema or a chaya. If it's a chaya, then the chelev is mutter. May not be too healthy to eat so much fat. But it's mutter. And the behema, it will be an isa kares. So the Shach writes in Yeridaya that to be allowed to eat chelev chaya, the minig is that you have to have a masora to know that this is a chaya. You shouldn't The Rabbanim shouldn't paskin on their own based on the shape of the horns, because they may guess wrong. They may determine incorrectly, and it turn out that they're allowing people to eat chelev, which has an isakar. It may turn out that it's really behemoth. That's the famous shach. The shach says, in order to eat chelev chaya, you have to have a masorah that it's a chayim. And others in the Chochmas Sodom lived in Vilna. Shach lived in Vilna until the Chmelnytsky pogroms, where he ran away that he shouldn't get killed. All the Rabbanim, everybody ran away. So the Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s. And the Chochmas Sodom was a contemporary who was a Mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He lived in Vilna in the late 1700s. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. So the Chochmas Sodom writes over this Shach, when he quotes it in his Sefer, he quotes the Shach as saying that you never eat any animal unless you have a masorah that it's a kosher animal. Let's say you find a new animal in the African jungles, they find a new animal and it's malagera mafis parsa. So according to the pasuk in Chumash, it's muta. We just had in Parsha Shmini. If you have malagera mafis parsa, it's kosher. So the Chochmas Sodom understood the Shach is saying that the meaning in Vilna is, the meaning all over the world is not so. But the Shach was saying the meaning in Vilna is that you don't eat any animal based on malager mafis pars, because you may be making a mistake. Mafis pars is very hard to make a mistake. You see that it has split hoofs, but the malager, that you can make a mistake.
Huh?
Yeah, a lot of animals look like the malager, but they're just chewing something all the time. Malager, in Yiddish, you say someone's chewing gums, so you call them a malager. But that's not what it means. Malagera means that after the food goes down to the stomach, then it comes back up, and the behemoth chews it again, goes back down, comes back up. Not all the animals that are chewing all the time are considered malagera. In fact, big scientists made mistakes for over 100 years about certain animals in the African jungles. They thought that it was malagera, and it wasn't malagera. They came to the realization just about 10, 15 years ago that it wasn't malagera. So that's how the Chochmas Sodom quotes this minig from the Shach. But the others quote the Shach as saying, if you want to eat chelev of a chaya, how are you going to determine whether it's a behem or a chaya? So the Gemara gives you simonim, the shape of the horn. So the Shach says, you better not rely on the shape of the horns. You may make a mistake. You have to have a masur that this is a chaya. A deer is a chaya, that means. If you have an animal, you're not sure, so don't figure out on your own.
Is it more about with oath? Where you don't really like any specific simonim, so you have that.
On what oath, the Chumash does not give any simanim at all. Chumash only gives simanim for the fish, it's not for the kaskesis, and gives simanim by the behemah v'chaya, malager mafis parsa. By oaf, the Chumash lists off all the non-kosher birds. But the Mishnah Perek Elu Trefis gives you the simanim. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Mishnah and the Gemara. It's a very complicated sugya, the sugya of Nesher. Nesher is a treif of birds, so that's the question in the Rishonim. What is the Nesher? Is the Nesher an eagle? Is it some other bird? Rabbi Tam said it's not an eagle. There's a long balamor there, big, complicated. Sugya of Nesher. How do you determine? So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch, if you find a bird that you never bumped into before, and it has all the simanim to identify that it's a kosher, so you're allowed to eat it. And there are more quotes from Rashi. Rashi writes on the Gemara in Elu Trefis, the Gemara tells a story that on one occasion the Amoraim and Bavel found a new bird that they weren't aware of before, never knew it existed before, and they thought that it had all the four simonim to identify that it's a kosher bird, and they shechted it and they ate it. And then after a couple of weeks they realized that they're reading a trefa bird that they misjudged, that it didn't have all the simonim. So Rashi writes on that Gemara. Usually Rashi doesn't paskin any shilas in the Gemara. You have Tshuvas of Rashi, you have other svarim by Talmidim of Rashi, where they quote by Rashi paskin. Rashi and the Gemara just explains what's going on. Here Rashi says, you see, from this Gemara, the Amoraim fell in, they made a mistake, so we better not eat any new birds unless we have a masorah that this bird is kosher. It's a very good kasha. The Gemara tells in the first parak in Chulam about Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah was a Tana, and when someone gave the behemah food to eat, so the behemah wouldn't eat because it was tevel, it wasn't gemaisa. So the Gemara says, look, it should be a kal v'chaim. If behemtam shel tzadikim, if Pinchas ben Yoyah's behemah wouldn't eat tevel, lema kadosh baruch hu mevi takol al yodam, so tzadikim atzma loy koshken, how can it be that a tzadik should eat non-kosher birds? So that Tosis has many kashas. Tosis has kashas all over. This is the best kasha of all. How can it be that Amoraim fell in and they ate the treif of bird? So the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch quotes that practice, that you shouldn't eat any birds unless you have a masorah. That's Ashkenazim, have that practice.
Can you tell me where Shufra the Shufra, according to what you eat, chaylev, and carbon inside? So he came to you with Shulayim, and they knew he was a good.
The Gemara says first they didn't know. He was the guy was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. The beginning of Psachim. Dav Gimel Amud Beis, I think. Beginning of Psachim. Gemara says that there was a non-Jew who used to visit Yerushalayim every year for Pesach, and he was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who lived far away from Yerushalayim, that he fools all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. Every year he comes and he tells me he's Jewish and they let him participate in the Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira asked him, did they ever give you the alya, the fatty tail? So he says, no. So he says, they know that you're not Jewish. If they would have thought you were Jewish, they would have sometimes given you the fatty tail. So the next time he went Pesach to Yerushalayim, he asked for the fatty tail. He said, what are you talking about? The fatty tail is burned on the Mizbeach. Where did you get such a wild idea that you want to eat the fatty tail? He said, the rabbi told me to ask for the fatty tail. What rabbi? He said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. He said, that's ridiculous. So they started to investigate, and they found out that he wasn't Jewish. So the Gemara says they killed him. Why did they kill him is a problem. Why? That's a question. There's something missing in the story. How to get on an affairist? Because he cheated them, he fooled them. So that's a question why they killed him. So that's the Gemara says there, that Lashon. He brags that he ate Mishufa de Shufa. He ate the best part of the carbon pestle. So again, so Chelev and Dam is prohibited because it's Chelek Shal Gavoy. It's supposed to be Makrav the Chelev and the Dam on the Mizbeach. And then the Gemara has a drasha from the Pasuk, not only Chelev and Dam of Mugdoshim, of Karbonis, even Chelev and Dam of Chulin. And not only Chelev of Chaya is Mutter. Chaya, you never makrav on the mizbech, but dam of a chaya should be mutter. You can't be makdash to be makrav on the mizbech. So nonetheless, the pasuk says chayla, dam of chaya v'yov is also awesome. Even how can you say that this is korev al mizbech? A chaya is never korev on the mizbech, but that's the halacha. Chayla b'dam is aser because it's chel kol shem mizbech. So the Gemara says chayla b'al chaya is mutter, right? Right, Badam of Achaya is also, even though you can't be Makra of Achaya on the Mizbeach. Right. So the Gemara says there in Menachas Daf Chaf Aleph that if you have Dam Shebishloi, when you shech the carbon, you're supposed to be Zorek the Dam on the Mizbeach. What if you cook the Dam first and then you Zorek it on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says you're not Yotze the carbon. You have to be Zorek the Dam when it's raw. If you first cooked, it's the same thing. You have to burn the Chelev on the Mizbeach. If you first cook the chaylev and then you burn it on the mizbech, you're not yotze. It has to be raw chaylev, has to be raw dam. So the Gemara has a machlokes, the Menachas Daf Chaf Aleph, Tosfos quotes it. Since the prohibition, basically the prohibition of chaylev adam, is because this is supposed to be chel koshal mizbeach, it's supposed to be chel koshal gavoya for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so maybe dam shebishloi, since it's pasul lizrak al gabi hamizbech, so maybe there's no isa deraisa to eat dam shebishloi. So that's how the Ramot paskins. The Dam Shebishla is only the Rabbanan. In the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, for the Sfardim, it's a question how Rabbi Yosef Kara paskins. It's unclear whether for Sfardim, they assume that Dam Shebishla is an Issa deraisa and Issa derabbanan. But the Ramot paskins for Ashkenazim, that Dam Shebishla is only an Issa derabbanan. Based on that, Gemara Menachas. And the Gemara says that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. Halev Kara Motzi as Domai. This is an issue deraisa. The first half of the Mishnah, the Kral is Chalav Shchuta. You didn't remove the milk before you shechted the animal. So the worst it's going to be is the problem of the Rabbanah. So the Mishnah says, if you didn't squeeze it out and you cooked it the way it is, ain't no ever alav, you're not in violation of the Issa deraisa Basa B'Cholav, because it's only Dam Shebishla. But the second half of the Mishnah is an issue deraisa. Halev Koramatzi is Dam. You have to squeeze out as much Dam as possible. What if you didn't squeeze it out? And you cooked it the way it is, so it says, Eino Evrolov, why is it no Issa deraisa? So the Gemara in Menachas has two pshatim. Either because Dam Shebishloi is Lab deraisa, but it will be an Issa derabbanon. Eino Evrolov means there's no Issa deraisa, but there will be an Issa derabbanon. And according to the other pshat, that's where Rashi quotes, according to the other pshat, Eino Evrolov means because you have less than a kazayis. So a chatzishir is usr, but there's no malchus on it. Eino Evrolov doesn't mean that it's mutter. It's asam in Atorah. Chatzishir is asam in Atorah. Rashi quotes, the Gemara zetz is in the Mishnah, but lev of. You're not eating the lev of a behemoth. He's eating the lev of an oaf. The lev of an oaf is not so big. So the amount of dam in the lev is going, by definition, is going to be less than a kazayis. So chatzi shir is also in our Torah, but ain't like in olav. So again, so on the sefer of the Mishnah, we're dealing with an issue deraisa, and ain't over olav means you're not going to get malchus, but there is an issa. Either it's an issa deraisa because chatzi shir of dam, chatzi shir as min haTorah, or it's an issa derabbanan, dam shebishloi is an issa derabbanan. And in the Reisha, it's a little unclear. When it says, if you cook the kchal the way it is, with the milk, you didn't squeeze out any milk, so it says, Eino ever alav, there's no isa deraisa basa b'chalav, because it's chalav shchuta, doesn't mean that it's mutter, there's no isa derabbanan either, doesn't mean, no, there is an isa derabbanan, but there's no isa deraisa. So that's what the Gemara has, the two versions of what Rav said. Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, on the top line, he quotes in the name of Rav, he's talking about kchal, Eino ever alav, there's no isa deraisa, umutter, there's no isa derabbanan either. How could it be there's no Issa derabbanan? What happened to the din of Cholav Shchuta? The Gemara says later in the Masechta, Cholav Shchuta is Mutter Manatar and Asim derabbanan. So Rashi explains, Cholav Shchuta means if I took the udder after the animal was geshochten and I removed the milk from it. So then if I cook some piece of flesh, either the kral or some other piece of flesh with the milk, so that's Cholav Shchuta, that's Basim Cholav derabbanan. Here I never removed the dam. The dam, I never removed the milk. The milk is still inside the kal, and I cooked it the way it is. So that's this first suggestion in the Gemara. They never asked lichat pele, you should try to remove all the milk before you cook it. But if you cooked it the way it is, and you never actually squeezed out the challah from the kal, so there isn't even an isa derabbanon. The isa derabbanon of challah b'shchuta is only if it was nischat mimenu, the yotza. That's what Rashi said. Then it's challah b'shchuta derabbanon. But hi, Rashi writes, but over here, I never removed the chol of shchuta from the kral. So this is mutter even in the rabbanon. That's the first version of Rav. Frag the markasha, but it doesn't seem to read into the Mishnah. V'hanan t'ran, but in the Mishnah says, ain't ever a love. Sounds like there's no malchus. Meruhu d'alayavar. There's no violation of basim b'chol of deraisa ha'yisurika. But it is awesome in the rabbanon. So how do you read this into the lashon? Ain't ever a love means that it's mutter. Everything more. The lashon and Mishnah is taken not meduyak. It's not well written. Bidinhu di surin amileka. It's really mutter legamre. And he really shouldn't say einer v'olav. He should really say mutter. However, v'ay did the boy lemisni b'seifa. But because in the last line in the Mishnah, you want to talk about halev. Halev kore motzias dam. You should squeeze out as much dam as possible. That's a real issue deraisa of dam. And then it says, loy koroi einer v'olav. But if you didn't remove all the dam from the lev, you don't get malchus, but there for sure there's an isa. Either an isa deraisa because you're talking chatzis shir, asam in haTorah, levoif, chatzis shir, or dam shebishloi is mutam in haTorah, but asam in the rabbanon. So hasam in the sefer mevuhu deloyavar ha'yisurik, either an isa deraisa or an isa derabbanon. So agav, then in the sefer of the Mishnah, we want to use such an expression, ein oiv alav, to imply that there is an isa, however. So therefore, tonanami reisha, ein oiv alav, but in the reisha it really means that it's mutta legamre. They never made a gzera of chol of shchuta if you didn't squeeze out the milk from the udder. If you cook the udder the way it is with the milk, so lechatchili you didn't do right, you should have removed the milk, but b'dievet, if you cooked it the way it is, it doesn't ask. Zog de gemara lema misayla. Should I say that there's a tosefta, there's a line in the tosefta that seems to support Rav's idea? The tosefta writes over the Mishnah and adds on a little bit. Akal kara motzi as chelba, you should really cut up and make slashes in the udder and squeeze out as much milk as possible. Like karai, ain't over alav. Okay, same, exactly the same, word for word, the same as the Mishnah. But the second half is not the same. Halev kara motzi as dama, before you cook the heart, you should really squeeze out as much blood as possible. Like karai, if you cooked it already and you didn't remove the dam, so kara lacha bishulai umuta. So then you can squeeze out the blood after you cooked it. So doesn't it appear from the braisa by lev who the boy created? By a lev if you cooked it with the dam, so then the tosefta says you have to squeeze out the blood afterwards. Of a kal, but in the reisha, by contrast, it would appear by the kal if you cooked it with the milk in it. Lo boy create, you don't even have, the ebit if you cook the udder with the milk. And you never squeeze out the milk. You cooked it with its milk inside. They never made a gzera derabbanan. So doesn't it sound from the Tosefta like Rav said that? But yeah, but if you cook the kal the way it is, it's mutter. So the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Could be the contrast means the reverse. Dilma, perhaps the pshat is like this. Levu, the sagile bikriya. by leiv, there isn't too much flesh in the heart that it should be able to absorb. So even if you cook the leiv with the dam, after you finish cooking it, squeeze out as much dam as you can and rinse it off, and it'll be mutter. We assume the leiv is not balei. You're dealing with an issue deraisa possibly. If you hold dam shavishlo is deraisa, still the leiv is not balei. Aval kal, maybe the contrast is not that kal is more kal than leiv. Kal is more chomer than leiv. Kal lo sagele bikriya. If you already cooked the kal with the milk, maybe it doesn't even help to squeeze it out later on. Maybe that's the Tosef is clearly drawing a contrast between kal and leiv. But you don't know which one is Muhammad and which. You don't know whether the Tosef meant to say that by kal, that the evidence mutter the way it is, or kal, that the evidence also doesn't even help to squeeze it out. So you can't tell. So the Gemara said there's no raya one way or the other from the Tosef. So that's the first version of what Rav Zeira quotes in the name of Rav. And then the Ika di Amri, then there's a second version that everything is punkt faket. The same person, Amr Rav Zeira Amara, but he says punkt faket, ain't over love. When they were editing the Talmud Bavli, so they had two different versions. This is a few generations later, two different versions. What did Rav Zeira? They knew Rav Zeira said something in the name of Rav, but there were two different versions of whether he said yes or whether he said no. So the second version is Ika di Amri, Amr Rav Zeira Amara, quoted the name of Rav, ain't over love, the Osir. It's awesome with the Rabbanon, Cholav Shchuta is awesome. Even though you never squeezed it out, you cooked the kal the way it is. Zog the Gemara, Lema Misayile. Isn't that what it sounds like in the Mishnah? It says, if they eat the kal, if you cook the kal, Eino Evralav, so the implication is, Merehu Daloyaval, Harisuri Ika. Sounds from the Mishnah, there's no Malkis, Mitam Basavacho, but there is an Isa de Rabbanon. The Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily a proof. We went through everything wrong. But din hu disur namileka. Maybe you can't prove from the lashon amishn. Maybe really the first version is correct, and the kal is muta legamre. Why does it say eno ever alav? Because in the sefer we want to say eno ever alav. There's no malchus by the leiv, either because it's only chatzishir, so it's awesome in atar. But there's no malchus, or because it's dam shebishla, it's only awesome in the rabbanon. So that's why in the reisha they use such a parallel expression eno ever alav. But in the reisha it really means that it's muta. By the Misni Sefer, Alev Kara Matzis Dama Lakara Eino Ever Love, Basim Eberhu De Lover Ho Isuri Ika. There, in the Sefer, there is an Isa. Either an Isa because Chatzishir Asim and Atara, because Dam Shabishla is Asim and the Rabbana. So maybe that's why, for the sake of parallelism, he wrote Tananami Reshi, he wrote in Reshi Eino Ever Love, but the Mishnah really meant to say that it's Mutta. So you can't tell one way or the other from the Mishnah. Zeling Masa Baita Toshma, the same thing from the Tosefta. Doesn't it sound in Tosefta Toshma? Akal kora moti is dami lachatchil. Supposed to slash it and squeeze out as much as chalva, to squeeze out as much milk as possible. Loi kora ainu avol, exactly word for word the same as the Mishnah. So whatever it means in the Mishnah means in the Brisa. But then the Brisa makes a contrast. Halev kora moti is dami. You should squeeze out the dam before you cook it. But loi kora. But if you cook the leiv already, so then it says kora lachabishula ilmuta. So you cut open, you slash the leiv after you cooked it, you squeeze out as much blood as you can, you rinse it off under the faucet, and it's okay, we assume that it's not balea. So the Brice is clearly making a contrast between the leiv and the kal. So what is the contrast? Which is Muhammad and which? So doesn't it sound like leiv hu the boy kriya? Only by the heart, you have to squeeze out as much milk as possible. Aval kal, you don't even have to try, lo boy kriya, you don't have to squeeze anything out. Shine, you cook the kal, it's mutter, but yeah, but it's mutter. So doesn't that's like the first version of Rav. It contradicts the second version. So like we said before, Dilma, maybe the pshat and the brayse is fakir. Leivu de sagale bikri. Maybe the brayse means to say that leiv is more kal. Leiv, the flesh of the heart, is hardly any flesh. It's not balea, any of the dam. So there, sagale bikri.
The bishop was asleep. Right.
That's a question. That's a question we're going to get to later.
Dam is cars and the milk is just muscopolo. Where's the comparison between the two?
No comparison. Talk about the two situations.
How do you deal with
it?
Right, they are. The Mishnah has the comparison. Mishnah has. By kral, you're supposed to remove what's inside, and by lev, you're supposed to remove what's inside before you start eating it, before you start cooking it. And then the Tosefta draws a distinction. What if you already cooked it without removing it? So it says there's a contrast between the two. So in which direction is the contrast? Which is more chomer than which? So first the Gemara thought, again, Toshma, So it sounds like Lehu the boy kriya, only the heart, you have to remove as much dam as possible, because it's a real issue of dam. Abba Kala boy kriya, that's what it sounds like. Chal is lahakel. So that's like the first version of Rav, against the second version of Rav. So Gemara Nei, Dilma, maybe the Brisa means to say fakert, that chal is machomer. Dilma, what it means is Lehu the sagale be kriya. By the heart, if you slash it after you cooked it already, it won't be balea so much dam. So you will succeed in removing all the dam that you have to remove. Rinse it off and there's no problem. Aval kral, the kral is soft flesh, and it was, if you cooked it with the milk in it, it was balea the flesh and it became treif. And there's no way to matter it after you already cooked it with the milk. Aval kral sagle bikri. So you have two versions of Rav, and we're not sure which version is correct. Tanya kavas, Tanya kalishna kama de Rav. We have a braisa, another tosefta, that sounds like it supports the first version, that it's mutter. Kral shebishla b'chalboi, mutter. State that it's mutter. Keva shebishla b'chalvo means like this. You have a young calf is nursing from the mother. So the young calf drinks milk from the mother. So that's regular milk. That milk was removed while the mother was still alive. The milk goes directly, it was never said, it goes directly into the belly of the calf. But then if I shef the calf, so the milk in the belly is milk. The milk in the udder is parva until you remove it from the udder. But here the milk in the belly of the calf was removed from the udder of the mother while the mother was alive. So the braisa draws a contrast. Hakchal shebishla b'chalvoy, you're dealing with an issue, the rabbanon of cholav shchuta, so that b'di'evit says mutter. And kevish shebishla b'chalvo would be us. If you cooked a calf, the belly of the calf, and you left the milk in the belly, that's mamish basa b'chalav deraisa. My hefesh ben zel is there. How come there's a difference? In both cases, the milk is there naturally. No, the answer is that's kon b'meyav, z'enokon is b'meyav. Here the calf drank the milk from the mother while the mother was still alive. That's milchig and milk. That's milchig and milk ben atar is milchig. Z'enokon is b'meyav. By the udder, when you cook the udder, the milk was never removed from the udder while the mother was alive. So that's only an issue of the rabbanon. So that the braisa says is mut. So again, so there are three, it's unclear, there are three possibilities. When you say you cook the keva with its milk and it's mutter b'di'evet, what did you do? Bishloi. It says kal shebishloi. Kal shebishloi means that you broiled it. The word bishol, funny, usually we say tzli. If you broiled something, it's called tzli. And if you cook something with liquid, it's called bishol. So Rashi points out there's a pasuk in Dirayomim, I think. Yeah, Rashi quotes Dirayomim. Vayavashlas haPesach kakosuf. It says that they cooked the korban Pesach according to the halacha. So the pasuk says a chumash, you're not allowed to bashel mevushal b'mayim. You're not allowed to eat the korban Pesach cooked mevushal. You have to eat it davke tzli. That's why in the Mishnah has two minhagim. In Perek Makom Shenogah, in the middle of Pesachim, there's a perek all about different minhagim. So each community should follow its own minhagim. The Gemara is going to have on the next daf. If a person goes from one community to the other, say if he plans to go back to his original community, he's still a member of that community, so he has to still observe those minhagim. If he moved to the other community, he no longer plans to move back to the old community, so he just became a member of this community, so he has to observe these minhagim, and he doesn't have to observe the old minhagim anymore. That's what we assume when a couple gets married. So we assume the husband and the wife can't be considered as belonging to different communities. Let's say one is a Sephardi, one is an Ashkenazi. So what do you mean? The husband belongs to one tzibur and the wife belongs to another tzibur. So either you say, let's say the husband is a ger, the husband is a bal tshuva, he has no traditions at all. And the wife is from a family, religious family from Dairi Dairis. So the husband joins the wife's community. Or if they both come from religious communities, they usually assume the wife enters into the husband's rishus, the eshus ishus, but they sabal. But to say they belong to two different communities, that doesn't make any sense. About how to paskin halacha lemaisa, let's say waiting 6 hours or waiting 3 hours. So it can't be what the husband waits 6 hours and the wife waits 3 hours. What community do they belong? They belong to two different communities. The husband and the wife are married to each other, have belong to the same community. Which shita they follow la halacha? So the din is each person should follow his Rebbe Muvuk. So a lot of times when a boy and a girl get married, so the boy wants his Rosh Yeshiva to be Masada Kedushin, the girl wants her Rosh Yeshiva to be Masada Kedushin. The girl learned in some seminary, and she asks all the shadas to her rabbi, to her Rebbe. So that you can have during marriage. The husband always asks all of the shadis to his Rebbe, and the girl wants to ask all the shadis to her Rebbe. So the shadis and Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha, they got to make up their mind whose sheet they're going to follow. Hilchas Kashrus, they have to make up their mind. Unless she's going to cook separate food for him and separate food for her, two different pots. But the other shilas, whether you're allowed to eat the chveis, I don't know. No, kidney is, that's a question of minhagim. So minhagim depends which tzibah do you belong to. But shilas and din, that's possible. The husband follows his Rebbe and the wife follows her. Normally, b'noik shabayilam, usually the husband and the wife follow the same rabbi. They daven in the shul, so they ask all the shadis to the local Orthodox rabbi. But we live in a funny generation. A lot of people never ask the rabbi any shadis. They ask their rebbe. The people are still attached to the Rosh Hashiva that he learned by 20 years ago. And the girl is still attached to her Rosh Hashiva that she learned by 20 years ago. So that's possible that each one has their own rebbe. The halacha says you have to follow your rebbe muvak. Or if you have a group of rabbanim. As it turns out, the Ashkenazim have a group of 500 Rabbanim. We follow Rashi and Rabbi Natam and the Rambam and the Ramo and the Shach. We have 500 Rabbanim, and the Ruba of those Rabbanim are Ashkenazim. And the Svardim also have 500 Rabbanim that they follow, and the Ruba are Svardim. They also follow Rashi and Rabbi Natam. But by them, the 500 Rabbanim, each one should follow his Rebbe Muvik. What if you have more than one Rebbe Muvik? So you follow the majority of them. So each group, Ashkenazim, have a group of 500 Rabbanim Mufakim that they follow, and Sfardim have. And there's overlap. But the Sfardim follow 500 Rabbanim Mufakim, they pick their 500, the top 500, and the Ruba Sfardim. So that's why they go bust the rope, so they always have a Sfardiship Psak. Ashkenazim have fewer Sfardiship Poskim and more Ashkenazi Poskim. So each group follows the rope of their Rebbe Muvak, of their Rabbanim Mufakim. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara draws the contrast. Yeah. So Rashi points out this pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says by Vashlas HaPesach Kakosuv, they cook the Karban Pesach. So we had started to say the Mishnah in Mokim Shenagu says that after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, some of the people had, we can't eat the Karban Pesach anymore. There's no Beis Hamikdash, no Karban Pesach. You can't be makir Karban Pesach without a Beis Hamikdash. So many communities had a minig bedavkei teet in the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, they had a mizbeach. Okay, they have historical evidence that was the practice, that there used to be makom Karban Pesach even after the Churban HaBayis. They assumed that it was kitchel asilava, that the makom Hamikdash retained its kedusha, and they had to have a mizbeach there. So that was dangerous to make a mizbeach, because the Roman soldiers knew when Erev Pesach was, and they would kill them if they would catch them being makom Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah records in Perek Makom Shenagu, Mishnah records that after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, there was a chilufei minhagim between the different kehillas. So some communities had a minig davke to have tzli as a zecher the Karban Pesach, which remember that bizman she Beis Hamikdash hayakam, we always used to eat davke broil. And others had a minig the davke not to eat broil, that people shouldn't think that we're eating kachim bachutz. No one should think that if we are makriv a Korban Pesach outside of the Beis Hamikdash.
The people who ate tzli, would they have a tzli on the carb?
The people who ate tzli,
would they have a tzli on the carb? But they don't need it as a zecher.
No, they'll have the tzli and they'll eat it. They'll have the tzli and they'll eat it. Unless they want to save it for the second night. Okay, so they won't eat it. Yeah. So there were two minhagim, whether bedavki do eat tzli, bedavki don't eat tzli. So those, most Ashkenazim have the minig that you don't eat tzli. Alel Pesach, that no one should think that we're eating kachim achutz. So then within the minig of the Ashkenazim, not to eat tzli, so then the two minhagim, the Aruch HaShulchan and others talk about, what about tzli kador? What if it's not really broiled, it's roasted? Does it have to dafke be cooked, the flesha, the chicken has to be cooked with a lot of liquid? You have to cook gedempte chicken, gedempte flesh, mamish cooked with a lot of liquid. What if you had pot roast, that it hardly has any water in it at all, just in order that it shouldn't burn, and it's also a little bit like roast. So there are two minhagim, whether it's tzli kador, that's not tzliyesh, that's called tzli in a kedera, tzli kador. Is that also, does the minig not to eat tzli apply to that also or not? Most have the minig not to eat tzli kador on Pesach night. For Ashkenazim, don't eat tzli, so you don't have tzli kador either. So the pasuk says in Dibra Yomim that on one occasion they brought the carbon pesach by Vashlos HaPesach. It's not, that's, it wasn't Bishul, they had to do Tzli on the carbon pesach. So you see that in biblical Hebrew, the verb Bishul includes also Tzliya. That's a discussion in the Mishnah in the Dorit. A person takes a neder, so what's included in the neder? He says, takes a neder, is not going to eat any, not going to drink any soda. So what about seltzer? Seltzer included in soda or not? So you have to determine, Elosha Mene Adam, the seltzer included in soda or not? Let's say he takes a neder, he's not going to chveis, not going to eat any candies. So what's included in candies? What's not included in candies? So b'nedarim halach achal Hashem Elyon. So you have mishnayis and mishnayis, several, quite a few dafim, prokim, in the middle of nedarim that determine if a person said this, if a person said that, what is included, what's not included. So let's say a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat any basa mevushal. So it only means cooked flesh. What if the flesh is broiled on a broiler? Is that included or not? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Divrei Yama, Vayivashlu asah Pesach, and it doesn't mean Vayivashlu. Rashi's bekiyus over here is he knew it from the Gemara in the Dorm. Maybe Rashi knew it from Divrei Yama also, but most people don't know it from Divrei Yama. Most people know because the Gemara in the Dorm quotes that pasuk that if a person hanoyde mehanam bevushol, person takes a neder, is not going to eat any cooked flesh. So tzli is also included in the prohibition because in Lashem Erei Adam, tzli is also included in bishul. And that's a question, is it a good raya or is it not a good raya? When you quote a raya from a pasuk, it's not necessarily a good raya because the pasuk is speaking a biblical Hebrew. And we're talking about Lashon Mene Adam. But in Dorim, it doesn't depend on biblical Hebrew. It depends on Lashon Mene Adam. Let's say Tirosh. Tirosh in modern Hebrew means grape juice, I think, no? Biblical Hebrew, it can mean wine. Tirosh means wine. There are a lot of words like that. In modern Hebrew, means chashmal. Totally different. Chashmal, biblical Hebrew, is some kind of an angel. Chashmal in modern Hebrew means electricity. A lot of words. In modern Hebrew means one thing. In biblical Hebrew means a different thing. So it depends who's speaking. Is it a person who speaks modern Hebrew? Or is it a person who speaks Ivris? He's not speaking modern Hebrew. He's speaking old biblical Hebrew. So, that's why the Meiri always comments on these 25 blot in the middle of the Dorim, that the Mishnah and the Gemara goes, gives all the details of a person took this kind of an edda, that kind of an edda, what's included, what's not. So the Meiri always writes, this din in the Gemara is Bosa Mokam and Bosa Zman. And that generation, and that country, that's what the word meant in Hebrew. But if you live in a different generation, in a different country, it doesn't necessarily have that meaning. And then when you learn Yeridayas, on the side of the page they discuss a person genumen on neder in Yiddish, what does this word mean? What does the word mean in Yiddish? I remember they discuss a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat cookies a ganze vach. A ganze vach includes Shabbos? A whole week means 7 days? A ganze vach means the Wachentag, only the weekdays. What does it mean a ganze vach? So they bring a rife in Gott von Avram. That you say when the women, Amatzai Shabbat, instead of davening and saying Atachan Antonu, so the women used to say a tefillah that basically was Havdalah. So the God from Avon for Yitzchak. No, you say the Vach zol zons kumen, zum mazon, zum bracha, zum guten gewinn. We should make a lot of money, zum guten gewinn. So Shabbos you don't make any money. So you see that the word Vach in Yiddish means the weekdays of the week, it doesn't include Shabbos of the week. So the poskim on the side of the Yeriday have to determine in Yiddish what's included in Lashon Mene Adam or modern Hebrew. So the Gemara says there in the Dorim, Afal Pishen Raya Ladaba Zech Ladaba, the Raya from the Pasuk in Dibra Yomim, that Saliya is included if a person takes Hanoyda Ben Hamavushal, he's not allowed to eat broiled flesh. They bring a Raya from the Pasuk in Dibra Yomim, it's not such a Gevaldig Raya, because just because that was the usage in the Hebrew language in the days of the Tanakh, that Bishul includes Tzliya, doesn't necessarily mean that Bizman Hazeh, people speak the same way. The language develops and it changes all the time. So I call upon him, that's why Rashi raises over here. When we're talking about cooking the Kchal, I didn't slash the Kchal, and I didn't squeeze out the milk, and I cooked the Kchal the way it is, so it says, B'diyeved, it's kosher. That's the first version of Rav, Tanya Kilish Nekama de Rav, that B'diyeved, it's kosher. So it's unclear, what are we talking about? We're talking, he was mevashal the kal means that he broiled it. That's what it means. Or mevashal the kal means even if he didn't, You broil it, so whatever's going to go down, whatever's going to fall out, milk that'll go out, milk will stay there, it'll stay there. You're not really cooking it with his milk. Whatever's going to stay, will stay. Or does it mean that you're cooking the chal in a pot with a lot of liquid, with a lot of soup, and some of the milk is going to go out and come back in? Or does it mean you're cooking the chal with other flesh, in a pot full of flesh? So there are three possibilities what you're talking about over here, and everything is very unclear. So that's why Rashi has one version, and the Bach tells you, look in the Ran, you see the first Bach. It's an unusual Bach. Usually the Bach just gives a Hakor. He tells you what's a better reading in Rashi. Here he tells you, look in the Ran. The Ran doesn't agree 100% with Rashi. And Tosfos takes issue with some of the details in Rashi. There are a lot of details over here. How do you zetzain each one of the brises over here? These three possibilities. Are you talking about Sliya on the Kral? Are you talking about Bishul and a pot? Only Kral? Are you talking about Bishul Kral together with other flesh? And it's also no problem. The end is going to be with only Kral. Okay. We'll see. Make things light. And make life easier. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kalish Nekama. The Rav, the Braise, sounds like Rav. Okay. Freg the Gemara, Ketzad Koro. If you want to do what it says in the Mishnah, Hakhal Koro Motiyaz Dama. How do you squeeze out the dam? So the Gemara says the correct way to do it is Om Rav Yehuda Koro Shesav Yer V'tocha B'kosel. You should, Shesav Yer means crisscross. You shouldn't just slash it once. You should slash it twice, crisscross to each other, and then squeeze it against the hard surface to get out as much milk as possible. Okay. Om Alei Rav Loza L'shamei. So one of the Amarim told his Gabbai, his Shamas, Krali Vano Echol, please, I'd like to eat some chal. Here in America, on the east side, they used to sell chal years ago. It's less expensive than normal flesh. Many religious Jews couldn't afford to pay for meat, so they used to eat the udder. No one wanted to buy the udder, so it was much less expensive than the normal flesh. It didn't taste the same. So maybe he was a poor man. So he says, Krali Vano Echol, cut the chal for me and prepare it, and I'll eat it. Feg the Mar, my kamashmal, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Kara, kara. So what is Rav Loza? He's following the Mishnah. And what's so important about recording this in the Gemara? What's the Chiddush? He followed the Mishnah. No, all religious Jews should follow whatever the din is. So the Gemara, nein. That you don't need. We said before, how do you do Ketzad Koro? You should cut it Shesav Yerev slash V'tachah B'Kosel. He's saying you don't have to. So what do you mean he's disagreeing with the member before? Disagreeing, I'm Rabbi Yudah Barav. He's disagreeing with Rabbi Yudah, Koresh Asiyev. Or maybe he's talking about Sli and he's talking about Bishol. So this is a question of the details. Is he in disagreement or is he talking about a different case? Okay. The next Gemara is a very famous Agarata. Rav Nachman's wife was quite a cookie, Yalta. She was a character. The Gemara tells different stories about Yalta. So, Omrele Yalta le Rav Nachman. So the wife tells the husband, Michti, we know, called Otzer Rachmona Shor Olam Kavos. Everything the Torah forbade us from gaining pleasure in this world, we can get the same tam by doing heta. People who do Averis think, a man lives with a Nochris. What is he living with? Let him marry a Jewish girl? No, he thinks he's going to get more pleasure living with a non-Jewish woman than with a Jewish woman. Why is he going to get more pleasure? Get a pretty Jewish girl and live with a Jewish girl. And then eats chazer. What does he eat chazer? He thinks that you get more pleasure eating chazer. You can get the same hana. Eating kosher food is more expensive, but you can get the same hana. Any hana is oil mazer, that a person thinks that he's missing by abstaining from all these suri ha-Torah. So the Torah didn't want us to suffer. Kol mandos rachmana, everything the Torah prohibited us, shor olam kavasa. We have something in this world that gives us the same time and we can enjoy Olam Hazeh the same. That's what you see from the story in Gan Eden. It says that Chava, the Nochash, convinced Chava she should eat from Eitz Hadas. Why? Because she saw Vatera Chava, it's Nechmad Lahaskel V'tov Nechmad La'ayim V'tov Lahaskel. It looked delicious. The Pasuk describes all the trees in Gan Eden looked delicious. Exactly the same. All the trees were described the same way. But the grass is always greener on the other side. So because she wasn't allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, so she imagined in her mind that some tremendous hanor that you're going to get from eating from the Eitz Hadas. That's the famous Gemara in the end of Sukkah says, in front of the tzaddikim and the rishayim, and everybody's going to look, and tzaddikim will look at the Yetzirah nidmalahem kahar. They think the Yetzirah is so powerful, so overbearing, and they're going to be astonished at themselves. How were they able to control themselves not to violate the Averis? Because it is Yetzirah. And the Rishoyim nidlahem kasaira. The Rishoyim will look at the Yetzirah. It's nothing. So how can it be that the same Yetzirah to the Tzaddikim is nidlahem kahar? This looks like it's so powerful, such a strong Yetzirah. And for the Rishoyim is nidlahem kasaira kechut asaira. So in Yiddish folklore, they used to say that the Rishoyim are the Tzionim, so they speak Ivrit. So it looks like a Saira. The Tzaddikim zayin afrumen, so they talk Yiddish. So Zetzachos v'ahar. The same thing, a Saira is a har in Yiddish. The same thing, but the Tzaddikim read in Yiddish and the Rishayim read in Lashon HaKodesh. That's the difference. But that's not what it means in the Gemara. That was the vitz that they used to say in Europe, that after the Zionist movement was started by the anti-religious, so that's why Tzaddikim didn't lam kahar and Rishayim didn't lam kuchta sar. So what does it mean? Why is there a difference? So the Beis HaLevi says the Tzaddikim never violated Avera. So they imagine in their mind the grass is always green on the other side. They say, "Mi yodea, such hanoi you can get if you'll violate the Yetzer." They never violate it. The Rishonim did violate it, and they see it. So the Zal Bazach, you make the same parnasa whether you go to work on Shabbos. You don't go to work on Shabbos. They think you're going to work on Shabbos, going to make so much more money. You're going to eat trefa, going to get. You're going to eat the clams and the shellfish and the oysters. You're going to get more hanoi. Delicious kosher food. The chazah doesn't give more hanoi from the kosher food. That's based on this Gemara. The Gemara says, Yalta tells her husband, we know, called us l'archamona, everything the Torah prohibited us, shoralan kabase, the Torah gave us some food that has the same flavor as the trefa, so we should be able to enjoy olam hazeh. So she goes through a whole list of different things. Asalan doma, the Torah prohibits us from eating blood, shoralan kavda, the Torah permits us to eat the liver, even though the liver is kula, the kavod is kula dam. Covered as kula dam. Nida, Torah says when a woman is in nida, she's not allowed to be with her husband. So when the woman gives birth to a baby, this week's sedra, so the first week, if it's a boy, the first week she's tamea to Monsieur Lettuce. If she has a baby girl, she's a tamea for 2 weeks. And then the next 33 days or the next 66 days, depending whether it's a boy or a girl, is dam tohar. What does it mean, dam tohar? Even if she has a riyaz dam, she's muteris labayla. There's mamash a riyaz dam. And still, so the husband can be with his wife and have whatever pleasure a couple thinks they have from being together. When the woman's anida, here she's mamash anida. The Torah says that it's mutter. Anida is mutter dam tohar. Chela behema, you're not allowed to eat chela from a behema, but it's chela from a chaya, it's mutter. Has the exact same flavor, tastes exactly the same. The zelba hanoasa elam hazeh. Chazir, the Torah prohibits us from eating pork. But mecha de shivuta. Shivuta is some kind of a kosher fish. And that the brain of the fish has the same flavor, that's what the Gemara says. The brain of the fish has the same flavor as chazir. So if you want to know what chazir tastes like, eat that.
How did Yalta know that?
No, she heard it from the Rabbanim. She used to hang out by the Rabbanim and she picked everything up. She was a very learned woman. Yeah. Girusa. Girusa is some kind of a, what does Rashi say? Girusa is an unkosher bird. Rashi writes, if Tomihu, and they say it's a Gemara Dab Samar base earlier, when the Gemara lists off the simonim for the non-kosher birds. So you're not allowed to eat a certain non-kosher bird. So there's a lishna de kavra. Kavra is a kosher fish. Kavra is a fish. So the tongue of the kavra has the same flavor as the gerusa, the non-kosher bird. Torah prohibits us from marrying, living with someone else's wife, an eshesish. So if a person thinks that there's some tremendous hanos or elamazeh he'll get by living with an eshesish, so the Torah permits us grusha b'chai baila. If a couple was married and the husband divorces his wife, so someone else can marry the wife. She's an eshesish. She was married to this guy, even though you get a get, but still you get the same tam as a living with an eshesish. The Torah prohibits eshesach. You're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, but a yavama is permissible. If my brother was married and he dies, leaving no descendants, no children, no grandchildren, no descendants, so then it's permissible and it's a mitzvah to perform yibum. So you can have the hanos olam hazeh of living with an eshesash by the case of the yavama. And if he thinks kusis to live with a non-Jewish woman you think some tremendous hanuas olam hazeh, so that's prohibited. So you fast Torah. The Torah says that if the Jewish soldier in the army falls in love after the war is all over and the Jewish army was victorious in battle, and they won't have to make any exchange of prisoners, so then if they have a non-Jewish prisoner and one of the soldiers falls in love with her, he has to think that she's good looking. Yifas Torah. If he thinks that she's not good looking, then the whole thing doesn't apply. If he thinks she's very good looking, very appealing, so then it's a special het to Yifas Torah, even though she's basically not Jewish. So she tells her husband, she heard from the rabbis that everything the Torah prohibits, we have a parallel that you can get the same anos adam hazeh, so I want to enjoy some basa b'cholov. So my dear husband rabbi, get me some basa b'cholov beheta. I want to know, what does it taste like? So Rav Nachman says, no problem. Omar lehu Rav Nachman letapche, so Rav Nachman told the butchers, next time you shech the behema, save the udder, and we're going to broil the udder. Don't squeeze out any milk. Squeeze out the milk so it doesn't taste like basa b'cholov anymore. Just keep all the milk and broil it, and then it'll taste exactly like basa b'cholov. It's not going to take exactly like basa b'cholov because the udder doesn't take the same, doesn't taste the same as normal flesh anyway, but the closest you can get. Shreg de Gemara, but you're not allowed to do that. Va'anantanan koro, but the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it. You're supposed to slash it, chest of the air, squeeze out as much milk as you can. He's telling him, don't squeeze out any milk. Broil it the way it is. Isn't that in violation, at least of lachatchila, of the Mishnah? And for the Gemara, hahu l'gdeira. The Mishnah that says you have to slash it, try to squeeze out as much milk as possible, that's because you're going to cook it in a pot. So the milk is going to go out, going to go back in. And Rav Nachman was broiling the udder for his wife, so for purposes of broiling, you don't have to slash it, you don't have to try to squeeze out any milk at all. That's Rav Nachman's position. Frag the Gemara. But the Brisa that says Vaktani Shabishla Bidevin Lachatchila Loi, but the Brisa sounds like Khal Shabishla Bichelva Mutta does his Bidyevit. You didn't do anything, says Mutta Bidyevit. Everything morning, it's even Mutta Lachatchila if you do Aydeit Sli. That's why Rashi learned that the Gemara seems to be assuming that the Brisa that we just had before, 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where it says Tanya Kalishna Kama the Rav, Akal Shabishla Bechelva Mutta means you didn't squeeze anything out, and it's Mutta B'Dievet goes on Tzli. Because the Gemara just said, the Mishnah says you have to squeeze out the milk, that's L'Gedera. And Rav Nachman holds that with Tzli, you don't have to squeeze anything out. Either Bryce only says B'Dievet, Akal Shabishla Bechelva B'Dievet is Mutta, and Rashi Lan Bishla means Tzli. And for the Gemara, no, it's really Mutta L'Chatchila. Why did the Kabbalah the Mishnah say for So you have different possibilities here. It's unclear. What are we talking about? Nobody eats kal today anyway. Exactly what are we talking about over here? Are we talking? Remember when we learned Yeridei? So Rav Soloveitchik skipped this whole simon. Nobody eats any kal. It's all simon in Yeridei about how to prepare the kal. What are the dinim? So again, Rashi and Tosfos say there are three possibilities. You're talking about broiling, then it sounds like Rav Nachman was muta lachatchil, you don't have to squeeze anything out. Talking about cooking it with other flesh, so then lachatchil you have to squeeze out, and b'dievet, if you cooked it by itself, maybe it'll be muta b'dievet. And then the third possibility that's still hanging in the air, what if you cook the kal with other flesh in the same pot? That's also muta b'dievet. Or only the kal alone is muta, the other flesh will be awesome. It'll be Chol of Shchut, it will be awesome in the Rabbanon, to us and the other. The pot will be a problem also. The pot will be a problem. So the Gemara tells a story. This whole din, two versions of Rav, with the Tanya Kavose, there was a Braisa. So Rav originated from Bavel, and he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He was there at the same time as Shmuel. And then Rav got smicha, Shmuel didn't get smicha, and then they both left to Bavel, and each one established his own yeshiva in a different city. So they wanted to know, where did Rav get this from? When Rav galant in the yeshiva by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rav's uncle was Rav Chiya. The Gemara tells the story there. Rav Chiya was Rav's father was a half-brother of Rav Pnia, and Rav's mother was a half-sister of Rav Pnia. They were not related to each other. His mother and his father were half-sisters, half-sister, half-sisters, half-brother. But they weren't related. So Rav Pnia was a double uncle of Rav. Rav Pnia was a Talmud of Rav Yudah Nasi. And when Rav came to learn by Rav Yudah Nasi, a lot of the shurim were given by Rav Pnia. So they wanted to know, where did Rav pick up this whole story? Where did he get a shita with the kral? What the din is? Asa mutter. So the Gemara says, Kisalik Rabbi Lazar, when Rabbi Lazar went on Aliyah, Teretz Yisrael, Ashkechel is the Iri. He went from Babel, Teretz Yisrael. So he bumps into Ziri and he asks him, Amalei, Ikatana di Isanya le Rav Kral? They're Tanoim and Amaroim. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar, Ben Azariah, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Rabbi Tarfin, these are all Tanoim, who lived in the period of Tanoim. Then you have Amaroim, after the students of Rabbi Yudah Nasi are all Amaroim. Then in the days of the Amaroim, there were Amaroim who used to recite Brises. That's also called the Tanner. Tanner, Tanner, Kameh, the Rabbi Yechon, means an Amora who was an expert in reciting Brises is called the Tanner. Not to be confused with the real Tanner who lived in the Tkuvas HaTanoim. So Rabbi Loza went there to Israel, and he meets Ziri, and he says, who was the one who recited the Brisa to Rav? Who taught Rav this story about the Kral? Well, Rav Shita wasn't Kral. Iketana di Sanya, the Rav Kral? Is there anybody there here who taught Rav that din when he learned in Yeshiva? Who's the one who told him the Brisa about Kral? So Ziri, Achviye le Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi. So he points to Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi, he says, he's the one, I think he's the one who told Rav the Brisa of Kral. Amalei, so Rav Lozer walks over to him, and he says, are you the one who told Rav the Brisa about Kral? Amalei, ani lo shanisi lo Kral kalika. No, I didn't tell him anything about Kral. When Rav came to Bavel, he saw that the people didn't know ABC of Kashrus, the people were cooking basar b'chalav. So Rav introduced the Chumer. Rav bikum matzah, the God of Bageder. Rav found it's a wide open valley. He came to Babel. They saw the Jews are violating right and left the laws of Kashrus. He didn't know anything. The Gemara says they didn't know the laws of Shabbos. So Rav was machmir more than the din really is. A lot of halachas they didn't know. And Rav and Shmuel were both extremely successful in introducing Yiddishkeit to the Jews in Babel. So this Amora, this Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi says, when Rav, I didn't tell him anything about Kral. He meant it on his own. He felt it's a necessary chumra midi rabbanan for his balabatim. Rav bika motza, he found it was wide open. There were pirates gather and all the dinim. But God abagether, he made a siyog de rabbanan. What happened? The Rav ikla the tatalfush. Rav came to Bavel to a certain village. Shamalai hiitza, he overheard one woman, the karma lachavatab, one balabasta is telling the other, I want to cook so much flesh, riva de bisra. Whatever, a quarter of a pound of flesh. How much milk do you need to cook 2 pounds of flesh? Mamish basam b'cholav de rice, she didn't know. So he said to himself, Rab said to himself, L'gemiri de basam b'cholav asa. They don't know that you're not allowed to eat basam b'cholav. He ekiv, so he stayed there in the city, Taltalfush, for a while, because of l'hu kachli. The attitude in the days of the Gemara was, if you have people who are violating a lot of dinim, biblical dinim, so if you pile on more chumras midi rabbanon, so some of the people will observe everything that you're telling them, and even the people who weren't, but at least they'll observe the dinim deraisa. In Europe, in the early 1900s, the attitude by many Orthodox rabbis was fakert, that the people are not observing anything, so you better find coolers for them. You better, let's say, they're not observing all the laws of Hilchas Nido, so at least tell them that they should observe the dinim deraisa. At least they shouldn't violate the din deraisa of nida deraisa, so leave out the din of the rabban. So many of the gedolim taina, but you see in the Gemara that the attitude was the reverse. When you see it, when you live in a generation where the people are in violation of everything, so the attitude of Chazal was you introduce more chumras. You're not dealing with the same kind of balabatim though. In the days of the Gemara, you're dealing with religious balabatim who are amaratzim. They want to observe, but they don't know the dinim. They don't know the ABC. So if you pile on more chumras, so there will be those who will observe everything, and even those who won't observe everything, but they'll observe the dinim deraisa. In Europe, you're dealing with the balabatim who don't want to be observant. They don't want to. They don't. They're not going to observe all the dinim. You tell them all the dinim, they won't observe anything. So that's why there was a difference. And now you're dealing with different balabatim. So that was Rab was dealing. Like in Europe, they had all these yeshuvinikas. The people, farmers who were far away from the city, they didn't go to shul. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they should try to make sure they go to shul on Parsha Zohar, because Parsha Zohar is their ice. All year long, they didn't go to shul. But they were very religious. They were very pious, but they didn't know how to observe all the mitzvahs. There's so many yeshuvinik stories. So many stories about the yeshuvinics, that the yeshuvinik was making the Seder. So he washed for karpas, and he said, Baruch atah Hashem makenem achorim asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. Someone asked, what is that all about? He said, it says, you wash and you don't say, al netilus yadayim. As I shtey. He thought that you say everything else. They have hundreds of stories like that. The yeshuvinikas were very religious, but they didn't know kitzur shulchan aruch. They didn't know how to observe anything. So that's why Rav found people wanted to be religious, but they didn't know the dinim. So he felt if you allowed on chumras, this will help get them to observe the basic dinim derais. So Rav Kana Masni Hoch, this version that we just said, the Rav Loza came to Eretz Yisrael and he asked who was the one who taught Rav the chumra of chal, that you shouldn't eat chal if you cooked it. and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abdimi said, I'm not the one. The Rav introduced his own chumra. When he came to Babel, he made it. He didn't learn it here in Eretz Yisrael. That's Rav Kana's version. Rabbi Yisrael Bar Abba Masni, he has a different version. That when Rabbi Loza came to Eretz Yisrael and he bumps into Ziri, so he asked him, who's the one who taught him the din of chal? So Ziri answers, "Chal shal minika shanisi loy." No, Rav learned by us that chal is basa b'chalav in the rabbanah. There's an issue, but we were talking about a chal of a cow that's a nursing mother. So the udder is full of a lot of milk, more milk than a normal cow that's no longer nursing. So we told him there's a brisa, there's a din that chal shal minika is a chumra mid the rabbanah umi pilpula shal rabchia. Rabchia was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nosi, and Rav was a Talmud of Rabchia. So Rabchia was very sharp. The Gemara has a different place. Rabchia was a big Chorb. So Rabchia thought all of his Talmudim are also very sharp. So when he said over dinim, he thought everybody understood telegraphic messages. He'll say half a din, and the Talmudim, Rav, will be so clever to understand everything. So when Rabchia was saying over the din, he failed to mention that he's talking about a kral. He's talking about an udder of an animal that's a nursing, a cow that's a menekes. It didn't occur to him that Rav is going to misunderstand, and he's going to think that the chal of a normal animal that's no longer menekes is also a problem of basan b'chol. So that's what the Gemara says, min pilpul shirabchi, because Rabchi was such a bal pilpul, so shonalei chal stam. He didn't say we're talking only about menekes. He thought that Rav will understand, and Rav didn't understand. Rav came to Bubble, so he said over a chumra. Not that Rav intended to make his own chumra. Rav bikam matzah, the god of Bageder. The Gemara has that expression in other places that Rav introduced other gzeris from the Rabban, when he gave to other dinim. But over here, the second version of the story, Rabbi Yosef Rababa's version of the story was that there was a misunderstanding over here. Okay. The buzz blacked Allah al-Maisa with the call. You're allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara tells the story. Tu amaraim visited the home of a third rabbi. Rovin, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Iklu, they happened to visit Lebei Rapapi. They visited the home of Rapapi. I see Le Kamayu, Tafshila de Kal. So they gave him some kal that was cooked. So are you allowed to eat it or not? So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Ochal, and Rovin, Loy Ochal. Rovin didn't want to eat it. That's a child, it's a proper to eat kal. Probably wasn't Tocha Bekoisel, Shesav Yerah, whatever. Some kind of a child. Omar Abai's making fun. Ravin Tichla, he's commenting, why didn't Ravin want the Amayle Ochal? Why didn't he want, he was afraid to eat the Kral. He was visiting by Rapapi. Rapapi's wife was a religious woman. She a Rebetzin. Michti Diviso de Rapapi, after all, the wife of Rapapi was the daughter, Brate de Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Havoi. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the wife's father, was a very pious man. Mori Diuvda is a very big tzaddik. He loved the Shmuel Amid Bei Nashev. She wouldn't have heard this in her father's home. Lahavli Avdo, she wouldn't cook a kal if she didn't see it by her father. Her husband allowed it. Rav Papi allowed it. Her father obviously allowed it. She had the traditions from both her father and from her husband. So what's the matter with this fool, Ravin? That Ravin didn't want to eat the kal. So Abai is making fun of him. What's the bottom line? Halacha lemaisa, ilari tikhal. So besura loyachli kachla. There were different communities in Babel. In Surah, they wouldn't eat kral. In Pumbadis, achl kach. What kral are we talking about? We're talking, if they do what it says in the Mishnah, for sure it's mutter. It means probably tzli, and you didn't do shesvi eretocha because of what the Gemara said before of Nachman. If you do tzli, you don't need all of that. So that's the question, is it, do we follow Rab Nachman's advice or not? Is that mutter or not? So there are two different minhagim. So the Gemara tells a very strange story. Rami Bar Tamri was a character. And he came from Pumbedisa and he went to Surah. And we just said before, in Surah they wouldn't eat chal. In Pumbedisa, when they would broil it, and they wouldn't squeeze out the milk. So in Pumbedisa they would eat it. In Surah they wouldn't eat it. So this character, Rami Bar Tamri, who goes under another name, Duhurami Bar Dikuli, Dikla is a date tree. So Tamarim is dates and Dikula is date. I don't think his father's name was Tamri or Dikula. He probably was in the business of dates. He probably sold dates. So they called them like Ben Mavis Ato. You deserve the death penalty. Doesn't mean Ben Mavis, my father's name is Mavis. Ben Belial. My father's name is Belial. I am a Ben Belial. I am a Russian. So Mr. Rami by Tamri, his name was Rami, that was his name, and he was in the date business. And he was also known, otherwise known as the Rami Bar Dikuli, also in the date business. So he came from Pumbedisa, and in Pumbedisa they used to broil the kal without squeezing out the milk. Ikla the Surah, the Maila Yama Dikpur Erev Yom Kippur, and everybody eats fleshiks on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay. Avkin, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to eat. Kalochel the Shoysa, but she, Maila Lokasav Kila Hisana Chi Vasir. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and mitzvah to have fleshiks also, the Gemara says. So he comes to Surah, Erev Yom Kippur. Oif, Taisa says, yeah, Taisa shows from the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Afkinu, so they all shechted behemoths here they shechted behemoths, and they all threw out the kal in the garbage. What are they going to do? They're going to squeeze it out and cook it. It doesn't taste good. So they all threw it out. Afkinu kuliyama lekachlinu, they all took their kal, shadinu, and they threw it. So this guy, Ozal Ihu, Rami Bardikuli, a character, he goes, Naktinu. He goes and he collects from everybody's garbage, he collects all the kral, and he eats it. So the Balabatim in the city found out that he's eating the kral, and their meaning was, their psak was that you're not allowed to eat kral. He broiled it and he didn't squeeze out the milk.
This was in
Pumbedisa. This is in Surah. He came from Pumbedisa to Surah, Erev Yom Kippur. He goes and he collects everybody's kal, which they threw out in the garbage. He collects it and he broiled it and he eats it. So they brought him in front of the local rabbi. I saw the Kamei de Rav Chisda, and he asked him, either an Erev Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, to say, Hayitochin, the minigam makom is that we don't eat kal over here. What are you doing? Amalei, am I tavid hachi? Why do you eat kal? He says, I come from the other city, and my rabbi in my city is Rabbi Yudah, and we hold that you're allowed to eat kal. No, I come from the city of Rabbi Yudah, the Ochel. He holds that it's mutter. Amalei, so Rav Chisda confronts him and he says, "Valeslach, don't you know there's a din that if you go from one makam to another makam, even though you plan daita lachse, you plan to go back to the original makam, so you still follow all the minhagim from the other makam, but you're not allowed to violate the minhagim makam here in public. If the minhagim makam here is you don't need it." The din is nostim alav chumri hamok mashiyatz misham. You plan to go back to your old city, so you still have all the chumris of the old city, but still, since temporarily you're here, so we place on you chumri hamok mshalach l'sham. You have to absorb all the chumris here today. If you're in Surah today, you're not allowed to eat chal. Amalei. So the wise guy tells him, "Yeah, Rabbi, I know. I ate it chutz l'tum." He went to all the garbage cans in the city, collected all the kal, then he went chutz l'tum. So he's not chumri hamok mshalach l'sham. He's not in the. The reason why you're not allowed to violate the chumri hamokim of the community where you are is b'mpnei hamachlokes. So he's chutz l'tum. He's outside of the city. So there's no issue. Let's say there's a ben Eretz Yisrael comes to chutz l'aretz and is here on Yantav Shein. So he's not allowed to do malacha. B'farhesef, for sure he's not allowed to do malacha. The Mishnah Brura quotes that the Rav Achrayim hold you're not even allowed to do malacha b'tzina, because whenever you do malacha, it'll always be discovered. But let's say you're chutz l'tchum. Let's say every so often, One of my sons-in-law comes into America for business, so he often comes in on Isruchat. So he lands in Queens in the airport, then he stays there with his computer, his laptop, and he does all of his work. By us is Yantav Sheni, by him is Isruchat. And he's Chutz L'Tchum. There's no Jewish community. No one lives close enough to the airport. Religious Jews don't live close enough to the airport to come there. So after it's by us, it's Matzoy Yantav, and by him, it's Matzoy Yisrochak. So then he takes a taxi and he'll come into civilization. He'll either come to Queens or come to Manhattan, whatever, or come in. So that's what this character says. Rami Bar Dekule. So he says, I was careful to eat the kal Chutz L'Tchum, so I didn't violate. Yeah, the Yiddish Kehillah, if you're in the Yiddish Kehillah, so you're not allowed to violate the Chumri HaMokum that they have. But if you're nowhere near the Yiddish Kehillah, let's say a fella comes from Eretz Yisrael to America, and he goes to Iowa, no Jews there at all. He doesn't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. If he's in a Jewish community, Toich HaTchum of a Yiddish Kehillah, then he's not allowed to do Malach on Yom Tov Sheni. But Kolz Mani is Chutz L'Tchum Lo Higir Le'ir, so he's in the Midbar, so then he doesn't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. See, also, he doesn't have to observe the Chumri Amokim Sha'olach L'Sham. You shouldn't violate him b'nei Amachloikas. All you shall not b'nei Amachloikas. The Machloikas only if you're Toch HaTchum. If he's not Toch HaTchum, he's not. Then he asks him, and how did you broil it? You didn't eat it raw. How'd you broil it? B'met Havisinu. Amalei B'Purtzini. Near the wine presses, there were branches from vines that they had squeezed out the grapes and made wine out of it. So the branches served as the fuel, and he made big fires with those portzini, with the branches, with the vines, and he broiled the kal on that. That was his fuel. So the Rabbi Rav Chisda says, Chochem, how did you broil it? How'd you broil it? On? Maybe there were goyim who squeezed out the wine, and all the stuff is full of trefa wine. Maybe it's full of yayin nesach, and your kal is going to have a bleer from the yayin nesach. The dilma mi yayin nesach avya. So he says, yeah, I was I knew about that part. He's a sharp guy, this Rami Bar Dekule. He's a chorif. So he says, I was thinking about that, but the Gemara says that after Yud Beis Chodesh, he used grapevines that were clearly more than a year old. It was from the year before. So whatever liquid moisture there's possibly going to be has already evaporated and turn it to nothing. So there's nothing left. Lafish, they must have a shavu. So you don't have to worry about that. It's a special kula by Stam Yenim. They have to trefe kelim also. The Gemara has a din. The Gemara's lashon is yayin nesach. It's not really yayin nesach. Yayin nesach means if a non-Jew actually took wine and he pours it in front of an avodah zarah, so that's anisa menatar. That's the krubus avodah zarah. It doesn't mean yayin nesach. It means stam yenim. Stam Yenim, we learned a little bit. Stam Yenim is prohibited by the Rabbanon. The initial reason why they prohibited Stam Yenim is because of the Hashash Chasnus. We're afraid it may lead to intermarriage. We'll be too friendly with the Nochrim, so we'll intermarry. So Tosfos says, the Hashash that the Nochri is going to sell me Yayin that he was Menasech Chavad Zara, he used it as Tekrubis. How is he going to give it to me? Egg life that does is avodah zarah. So how's he going to give it to me? So it's very far fetched. That's going to happen. So Taisa says they would never have made a gzeira on stam yena because of the chashash nisach, but they were making a gzeira because of the chashash chasnus. So because of the chashash of intermarriage, they would have only prohibited osa b'achila, like bishalakum and pasakum. You're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a nochri, even though you were watching the way your next door neighbor made the bread. All the ingredients are kosher. Let's say the next to the neighbor is cooking some kosher flesh. You see, all the ingredients are kosher pot, everything is kosher. So bishul akim you're not allowed to eat because it may lead to chasnus, may lead to intermarriage. So they really wanted to prohibit stam yena because of a chashash of chasnus. So they did. But once they asked b'achila, then they slapped on a bigger chum and they said, well, while we're at it, we're going to throw in a chashash nisuch also. They wouldn't, for the chashash nisuch, they would never have introduced the Nisa that it's also Banor because maybe he was Menasech Chidla V'Nizar. But once they made the Gzeira ready, Mishum Chasnus, that is a reasonable Gzeira, but that would have only asked Bachila, so then they slapped on another reason, should they also Banor, also because of the Fafetch Chashash of Nisa. So that's why we always call it Yayin Nesach, but it's really inaccurate. It's not really Yayin Nesach, it's really Stam Yenim.
Did it change the right thing?
No, we have a lot of coolness in Stam Yenim. You have a lot of kulas. So one of the many kulas is if you have a barrel that they use for stam yenom, and we know that the barrel has not been used for 12 months, so we say after 12 months, there's no longer any blia left in it. The Chacham Tzvi says in his tshuva, he thinks that the same is true regarding any tray for kelim. You have any? A lot of people have the shaila, they have a set of dishes from the grandparents that hasn't been used in many years, and they're not sure if the grandparents kept kosher, they're not sure which is fleishik, which is milk, which is chametzik, which is pesach. So the Chacham Tzvi says that any tray for kelim, that after 12 months, you don't have to kosher at all. So we don't really paskan like that. We assume that it's only a special kula in stam yenom, because stam yenom is only mishum chasnos. The basic is chasnos, and the chashash of the einesach is very far fetched. So we have a lot of kulas in stam yenom.
They used to get the wine kegs.
Right. They age schnapps in wine barrels. That's a problem, right? The age schnapps in wine barrels. That's unclear. There's a machlekes among the schnapps manufacturers. Why did they have a minhag to age them in sherry casks? So there's a chiluki deis. Every couple of years they write up the whole machlekes in the New York Times. So yeshayim this an alta minhag that they age the schnapps in wine in sherry casks. So some of the companies say that they want to blend in the flavor of the wine into the schnapps. And other companies say no, they want to blend in the flavor of the wood into the schnapps. But if they want it, they don't want it to be too woody, so that's why they use dafke sherry casks. So the wine should offset the flavor of the wood. So chaluki deis.
I was there, wanted to use these kegs before they were ready. In other words, they were brand new kegs.
Absorb too much.
At this rate, these wood is already absorbed.
Absorb.
And I was there when a man actually said, and give a flavor to the schnapps.
Yeah, but among the manufacturers of the schnapps, they have a chiluki deis. What is their intention? They have a machlek, this is an alta minik from Shanim Kadmanias. Schnapps, they say, is from the days of Adam Arishan, I think. They say, from the days of Adam Arishan, he knew how to make wine and knew how to make schnapps. I think so. So they have a chiluki deis, whether they're really interested in the flavor of the wine, so then it's a real issue, or no, they're really interested in the flavor of the wood. Rav Moshe assumed like that, without explaining it. Rav Moshe has a kula about the sherry casks. See, he's assuming that premise, that they're not really interested in the wine, they're interested in the flavor of the wood. The wine is just to offset the flavor, but it doesn't even spell it out in the tshuva. He takes it for granted that everybody assumes like that. But that's a chiluki deis. So again, most don't hold like that, Chacham Tzvi. Most hold that a kli that hasn't been used for treifas in 12 months, you still have to kashim at the rabbanim. Zeirein ben yom, at the ben yom. So, but Rabbi Kiveger and other tshuvas, they say, if you have a tziruf of various kulas, tzadim lahakel, so then there's room to be mekel, so they're always mitzaref, the Chacham Tzvi is one of the kulas. If you have a kli that was never used, hasn't been used for treifas in the last 12 months, and then you have other tzadim lahakel, so then there's room to be made.
Isn't that the excuse also when that happens in Pesach when they eat the brachos? How do you use these dishes for the following
next
year?
Next Pesach, right.
Because a year is gone.
After a year, right. Right. Because gebrachos is only a chumrah. Brachos is only a minute. So gebrachos is less chumrah than stam yenom. Okay. So by gebrachos it's a tzad lahakal after 12 months. If yishun yud beis chaydish, if the kli wasn't used for 12 months, so you don't have to kasha by stam yenim. So the kavachana by gebrux, you don't have to kasha. Gebrux is less of an isim, less chomer. So everything, the Rav Chizda keeps on asking him, he has a teretz on everything, this sharpie. So he says, maybe it had stam yenim, Zokta, I was careful to take those that were 12 months old. Zokta, v'dilma de gezel have it. Maybe you're stealing it from somebody. Maybe the rightful owners, true, they left it there a whole year. Maybe the rightful owners are going to come back and they want to use it as fuel in their furnace in their fireplace. No, I know for sure that they were misyayish from it because it was clear to me that it was more than 12 months old, and the kotchebuhu chilfe, because mold was growing on top of it and it was so dusty and dirty and filthy, it was clever to talk that the rightful owner, the original owner, is not going to come back and claim. So then the Gemara continues. Chazir Rav Chizda sees that this character Bizman HaGemara, they used to wear tefillin all day long. That's the Iker Adin. You're really supposed to wear tefillin all day long. When you go to the bathroom, you take it off. So Shaila Machlokes and Rishonim and Achronim, whether the requirement to wear tefillin all day long has been atara midirabbanan. But there is such a din l'chatchila to wear all day long. So this Rami Badikuli was not wearing tefillin all day long. Chazi de lo hamanach tefillin. Amalei, my time alamach. How come you don't wear tefillin? What's going on over here? Amalei, chodem yayin hu. He has diarrhea, and the din is he's not allowed to go to the bathroom with the tefillin. He keeps on going to the bathroom every 20 minutes, and he doesn't know he's going to have to go. So he's not allowed to wear tefillin. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I come from the city. Pumbedisa, my rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda, my rabbi Gazak, Chalamei, I'm Patamon Atfilm. Chazid Alahavi Rami Chute, he doesn't wear tzitzis either. So what's the teretz on the tzitzis? Tzitzis you're allowed to wear in the bathroom. How come you're not wearing tzitzis? Amalai, my time is Lachute, how can I know tzitzis either? Amalai, Tal the Shulahi, it's not the beggar, is not mine. I borrowed it from someone else. And my rabbi, I come from Pumbedisa, my rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Gazak, Tal the Shulah, Koshlaif Yam Turimina Tzitzis. Then the story continues. Okay, believe that. The next week we'll continue. In this week's sedra, we have the pasuk. If a woman has a baby boy, you have to perform the bris on the 8th day. So the Gemara is bothered with the question. All the dinim of bris mila already say in Parshas Lech Lecha was added over here, and already says on the 8th day you have to be mala baby. So the Gemara has some tanaim say, but yamashmini imil b'sar losa means afila b'shabbos. Even if it's a mila bismana, if the baby was born last week on Shabbos, so then the mila bismana is decha Shabbos. It's a malacha to perform a bris mila on Shabbos, but if it's a mila bismana, it's mutter. If it's not bismana, or if it's a suffik, if it's bismana, so then the Mishnah you say you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos unless it's vadoi that it's a mila bismana. So the Rishonim are bothered with the kasha. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. You're afraid someone may forget and carry the shofar. When Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, you don't shake a lulav. You're afraid someone's going to forget and carry the lulav. When Purim falls out on Shabbos, by us it never falls out, but Shushan Purim, and Herzl falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read the Megillah. You're afraid someone's going to carry the Megillah. So how come a lot of times you attend the bris on Shabbos, you're not afraid the moel is going to carry something to the bris? You're not afraid. Not afraid that someone's going to carry the baby. Not allowed to carry the baby. Achayna says hasma only goes on a person who's able to walk. A baby can't walk, so you don't say achayna says hasma. How come you're not afraid that someone's going to forget and carry? So the Rishonim have 8 different terutzim. I think the Meiri in the first perek in Megillah quotes all the 8 terutzim. He collects all the terutzim from all the Taisus and all over. So one of the terutzim that the Meiri quotes, this is a famous terutz from the Achrayim. So the Meiri has Achranim Mishet Terutzim. So the Meiri has his Terutz also. The Taz has a famous Chiddush that the Chachamim have the right to make Gzera Drabonon Mishmartim as Mishmarti Asum Mishmeris No Mishmarti, but they have no right to make Gzera Drabonon Kenegadova Hamufurish Batorah. All the Gzeras Drabonon, even though it's only the Rabbanon, become a Chelik of the Torah Shabal Pe Min HaTorah. That's the way it sounds in the Rambam and the Hakdomah to the Pirish HaMishnayis. Rambam describes what constitutes Torah Shebal Peh. So he says we have Pirushim Hamukubalim LaMoshe Misinai, that the phrase Ayin Tachasai means Momin, and that Pri Eitz Hadin means Esrog, and so on. You have certain expressions. We have a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu that this expression has this connotation. That's the Pirush Amilas. That's Torah Shebal Peh. And then we have a list of halachas LaMoshe Misinai. That's Torah Shebal Peh. Then we have all the drushes that are learned out by reading in between the lines, in between the words, the klal of prat, the klal, and the kal v'chaimim, dinyanav, and so on. All the yud gimel mirash atar and the dreshes mem. And then the Rambam says, all the dinim of the Rabbanon, all the gzeiros, all the takonas of the Rabbanon, blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh. So, according to the way the Rambam writes, that all the dinim of the Rabbanon blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh min ha-Torah, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, when you learn the dinim of Chanukah, you yotzei mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah. Adlokas Hanera Chanukah is only with their Rabbanon, but when you learn the dinim, that constitutes a mitzvah deraisa, because it becomes a chelik of a chefter shal Torah on the level of deraisa. So that's what the Taz has this famous chiddush, that it doesn't make sense that Chachamim don't have the authority, they cannot have the authority to make a gzera derabbanon. That's in contradiction to Adava Mefurish Bator. So that's what the Miri gives this teretz. A lot of Achrayim have this teretz. The Torah has a separate pasuk, b'yamashminiim b'b'sar alasoi, and everybody says everything in Parshas Lech Lecha. So this is a dova hamafurish, but it doesn't say afila b'shabbos, but that's the connotation, that's the whole significance of the extra pasuk, The Iberik and Pasuk is to tell us that Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. So what are you going to make? Exera the Rabbana? That's Kenegadav HaMafurish Batur. This is a big topic. There are many Mara Mekoymas. There's a big Talmud Chacham in Flatbush, Rabbi David Cohen, published many, many, many Svarim. You have to have a whole bookcase just to have all of his Svarim. 40 Svarim or so. Tremendous. Bucky. So he has one whole Sefer on this topic. He gives all the Mara Mekoymas and Shas and Poskim and Shanim Achrayim for this topic. Like the Taz or against the Taz. Many Rishanim talk about. So this is one of the many Mara Mekoymas that the Miri gives its teretz. That the Achrayim and generations later said, the reason why we're not geyser to prohibit Mila Bizman on Shabbos is because Davam Mefurish Batur. Kiyah Shofar, you have to blow Shofar, but it doesn't say even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it says you got to blow Shofar. But here, the whole purpose of this extra pasuk is to tell you that the bris has to be done on the eighth day, even if it's on Shabbos.
In the Megillah, Perik Ches, there's a creating sid,
La Yehudiyin. Yeah.
How many
times does the creating sid appear?
No, in the Megillah, 43,000 built the Beis HaMikdash.
43,000?
Yes.
Came back to Eretz Yisrael.
Zerubbabel.
Yeah. Right?
All right, Reverend.
Thank you.